Torah Ches in Likutei Moran Tanina, the Torah that's called Tiku Teichacha. We know that Rabbi Nizal, in the last 3 years of his life, on Rosh Hashanah, he lectured, he spoke about the pasuk the special pasuk that we say on Rosh Hashanah at night, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kes eliyim chagenu ki choyk liyisrael hu mishpot b'leikei Yaakov. And in the second half of Likutei Moran, the first chapter, the fifth chapter, and the eighth chapter, all are based on this pasuk, and they're known as the three outstanding tikkus. Tiku memshava is the first chapter, Tiku emuna is the second chapter, and this final one is known as Tiku teichacha, which is the last shiur that Rabbi Nizal gave in his life to his talmidim in public. Reb Nachman Shigurinzal explains that, note, this is not coincidence that the last topic that Rabbi Nizal spoke about in his lifetime was the topic of teichacha, giving, reprimanding people, because we find Chumash Devorim begins with the words, Eile ha-Devorim asher diber Moshe. These are the words which Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Jews, and the Gemara, Rashi HaKodesh quotes the Gemara, which says that this is the first time in his life that Moshe Rabbeinu actually spoke teichacha, out and out reprimand to the Jews. Why? And the Gemara says that the reason why he felt comfortable in doing so was because he was about to pass away. He felt that was the most opportune time. This was the last chance he would get to get it in a sense, to be able to tell them any advice that he would want to, and to leave them with a powerful blow that would carry them through. This is what he wanted to speak about. And the Gemara says, so too we find by Yehoshua, right before Yeshua passed away, we find his last words were Teichacha, and Shmuel Hanavi, and many others. The Gemara makes a point of this. So Rav Nachman Shigurinzal points out it's certainly not coincidental. The fact that Rabbeinu Zal picked this item to speak about then, he obviously knew that he was going to be passing away a few days later. Rabbeinu Zal passed away on the 18th day of Tishrei, the Rosh Hashanah. Before that, this was what the shiur was about. It starts with the topic of Teichacha. And Rabbi Nizal begins with the words, Afal pi sheteichacha hu dover godol. Although the mitzvah, the obligation of a Jew to reprimand his fellow Jew whenever it's necessary, is a very great item, umutol al kol echot mi Yisrael lohichiach es chaveroi kisheroye boi she'enoi misnahi kishura, and it's obligatory on each and every single Jew to reprimand his fellow Jew when he sees that he's not conducting himself properly. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Chumash Vayikra, Hoicheach toichiach esam isecho, you're required to give reprimand to your friend. And the pasuk finishes, V'loitisa olav chait, so that you will not share in the responsibility for his sin. If a Jew sees another Jew going on an incorrect path, and he's in a position to correct him, where his words would be meaningful to the person, and he keeps quiet, then he shares in the penalty of the crime. There's no question about it. So although this is the case, Rabbi Nizal says, Afal Pikein, still we must be aware of the fact that Lav Kolodom Roi Lohichiach, not every Jew is worthy of performing this mitzvah. Kemoshomar Rabbi Akiva, as Rabbi Akiva said, Tamo ani, I wonder, im yesh badoyer hazeh mi sheyochai lohichiach. I wonder if there exists in our generation, this is Rabbi Akiva talking, who lived at a time that the greatest luminaries of the Gemara were alive at the time, and Rabbi Akiva said, I wonder if in our generation there's one who's worthy of reprimanding the Jews in a proper manner. Rabbi Nizal says now, V'im Rabbi Akiva Omar Zois Bedoiroi, if Rabbi Akiva said this in his generation, Kol Shkein Badoir Hazeh Shel Achshov, certainly how much more so in our generation, Rabbi Nizal was saying, why? How much more so, we have to understand that this is a very, very delicate operation, and there is sakona involved. There's tremendous danger. When this thing is not carried out properly, it can cause a tremendous destruction, as Rabbi Nizal is about to explain. Because when the one who's giving the reprimand is not worthy of doing it, azai then, loy dai she'enoi moil b'toichachdoi, not only will his words not help to achieve what he's trying to achieve, that's not the only problem, But af gam hu mavish reach shel hanishamois hashoimim toichachtoi. He will arouse a bad odor, a stench from the neshamois of those people whom he's trying to reprimand if he's not worthy of reprimanding them. Why? Rabbein Azal explains, ki al yidei toichachtoi hu ma'oirer horeach ra shel hamaisim roim umidais rois shel anoshim shehu moichichom. Through his words of reprimand, he arouses the bad odor that comes from the bad deeds and the bad characteristics of those people whom he's reprimanding. When he reprimands them and he's not worthy of doing it, so he doesn't do it in the best way possible, the result is that he brings forth a very, very bad odor from all the sins and bad deeds that these people have done up until that point in time. Now Rabbein Azal explains, Kemoi, just as kishemunach eza dovor sheyesh lo reach sheinoi toiv, when an item that has a bad odor is allowed to remain still, it's not disturbed, as long as we don't move that item in any way, it's conceivable for the odor to be dormant and not to be felt, where you won't smell it. But when we begin to stir that item, to shake it, you'll note that what happens is the bad odor of this item that was subdued, it was not, you couldn't feel it at all. Once you start moving that item, you chepa that item, you bother that item, then what happens is you arouse the bad odor of that item. So to Rabbein Azal says, al yidei toichocho shel mi she'ein roi lo hichiach, through the reprimand of one who's not worthy of reprimanding another person, al yidei ze mezizin umeoirin horeach ra shel hamaisim roim umidais rois shel hanoshim shemaychicham. Through that, we stir and we arouse the bad smell, the foul odor of all the bad deeds and bad characteristics of those people whom we're trying to reprimand. We arouse the bad odor of all their bad deeds, and this obviously causes a big problem. This is a terrible thing. The Alkain, and therefore Rabbein Azal says, Hum Mavish Recham. This person actually spoils their odor. The aroma that would be coming from this person actually causes a spoilage and a defectiveness. And because of that, Hum Machlish Es Haneshamois Shelohem. This person, the one who's doing the reprimanding, actually weakens those people's neshamos. By reprimanding them, he was trying to make them become more religious, better, more powerful. What happens is, if he doesn't do it the right way, he arouses this bad odor of all the bad deeds that they've done up until that point in time, and once that bad odor is aroused, that weakens the neshamos of those people. Once their neshamos become weakened, nifsak hashefa mikol ha'olamos hatluyim be'elo haneshamos. This causes a stoppage, a blockage of any shefa, any wealth in any form, physical or spiritual, that was dependent on these neshamos, becomes stopped or blocked or held up because of this bad odor that was aroused. Rabbein Azal explains now, Ki ikar yunikas haneshamo homei horeach. We know that the main source of nourishment, the main power, the main drawing power of a neshamo comes from the power of smell. Kamoi sham razal, as the Gemara says in Brachos, minayin shemavorchen al horeach. How do we know that a Jew is required to make a bracha on smell? Shenemar koil haneshamo tahalel ko. We know that usually the law is that anything that a person is going to have physical pleasure from, he's required to make a bracha. Food, a person eats any type of item, we understand he's required to make a bracha. The Gemara says, how do we know that this even extends to smell? The Gemara answers, because there's a pasuk that says, koil haneshamo tahalel ko, that a Jew's soul is also required to praise Hashem when it receives pleasure. And the Gemara says, Ezehu davor shehaneshamo ne'enis mimenu v'loy haguf. What item is there that the soul draws pleasure from and not the body? It's an item that pertains specifically to the neshama. Hevi'omer zeh horeach. We would say that's the item called smell. That's related specifically to the neshama. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'alkein, therefore, al yidei zeh hamoichiach shehum mavish reichom, through this person giving the reprimand, who spoils the smell of these people, who spoils their aroma, al yidei zeh nechleshes haneshama sheinikosa mihareach kanal. This causes a weakening of the neshama, which draws from this power of smell, and automatically, once these neshamas are weakened, their power to receive shefa, their power to draw shefa from Hashem, becomes weakened, so that any worlds that are dependent on these neshamas, their power to draw shefa from Hashem becomes weakened. Now note, we find this in practical halacha. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, based on the Gemara, that as soon as Shabbos is over, we make Havdalah, the special mitzvah of Havdalah, to separate between Shabbos and the weekdays. One of the outstanding items that we do in Havdalah is we make a bracha, Bairei Minei Besamim. We smell something that we can make a bracha on. Why do we do this? The Meforshim explain the reason is because on Shabbos, each and every single Jew who is zoicha to keep Shabbos draws upon himself a neshama yisera, an additional neshama, an additional section of the neshama, which makes his neshama much more powerful. It makes his register of neshama much bigger, much more powerful. On Saturday night, when Shabbos is over and the neshama begins to leave, this additional portion of neshama begins to leave, its power is dissipating. This causes a tremendous weakness, a spiritual weakening to the person. Therefore, as a favor to the person, the Chachamim instituted this law of smelling besamim specifically at that time, because the smell, taking in smell of a sweet item, this type of item, this actually strengthens the neshama. So this lends support to the neshama at a time that it's becoming weakened tremendously by the shock of the neshama yisera leaving. This helps to give it a little bit of support, strengthening. So we see that the taking in of a good smell actually strengthens the koyach of a neshama. Therefore, if we arouse a bad odor on the part of the person, and the person begins to breathe in this bad odor, obviously this is going to weaken his neshama. And note, here again, you find practical applications, lahavdil, it comes to smoke inhalation or things like that. A person takes in a bad odor, there's nothing that's more dangerous. Rahman al-Islam, those that are familiar with fires, they say that most people that die in a fire, it's not the fire that kills them, it's the smoke. Because the smoke is tremendously powerful in knocking out, in shutting down the system, the respiratory system in the body. So we see that the chiyus of a person is dependent on this reach, that which you take in through the nose. Rabbeinu Zal says now, Avol kishahamoichiach, roi lohichiach. But if the one who's giving reprimand is one that is worthy of doing it, azai, then adarabo, just the opposite. This individual, he adds and gives additional good smell into the neshamas, into the souls, through his reprimand. Now note, interestingly, Rav Nosson Zal brings on the Kutei Halachos, this is the reason why Yosef HaTzadik is called Yosef HaTzadik, because one of the missions of a tzadik is lohisif. He's constantly adding. Even at a time when he's reprimanding, where the nature of reprimand is to break down a person, a tzaddik is so powerful that his teichocha is only letoiv. His hisrachkus, his pushing away of an individual, is only for a constructive purpose. It's to help the person, to cause the person to fight harder, to come close to the kedusha. This is why the term Yosef is used about Yosef HaTzaddik. Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher, the mission of a tzaddik is always to bring more people close. That's in number, quantity of people. He's always trying to increase the quantity of the Jewish population, and also in quality. He's always looking lohisif. Even when he's reprimanding, where the nature of reprimand many times is to subtract, the tzaddik is the one who's so talented that he's able to add. Even his reprimand is an inyan of anasina. He's giving. He's not taking away from the person by reprimanding. He's not subtracting. He's adding to the person. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ki hatoychocha tzorich lihiyos bebechinas hatoychocha shel Moshe." When a Jew wants to reprimand another Jew, he has to see to it that his reprimand should be in the form that Moshe Rabbeinu reprimanded the Jews. Shehichiach es Yisrael al Maisa Ha'egel. We find that the Torah tells us that one of the incidents where Moshe Rabbeinu was forced to reprimand Bnei Yisrael was when they committed the act with the golden calf. She'al yedei toichachtoi nosan bohem reyach toiv. At that time when he reprimanded them, the Gemara says that he added a sweet aroma to them. As the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Nirdi Nosan Reichoi. The Pasuk says, Nirdi is a type of besomim, it's a type of spice, one of the spices of the Torah, Nerd, Vekarkoim Konavikinomoim. So the Pasuk says, Nirdi Nosan Reichoi. This Nerd gave forth a good aroma. Now, Nirdi is also Miloshin Yerida, going down. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to take an incident where the Jews were going down into sin and use that Nosan Reichoi, that gave forth a good aroma. And the Gemara Darsh Hanemar al Maisegel, this is written about the Maisegel. And the Gemara Darshan's Ozav Loi Nemar, it doesn't say that they're going down subtracted from the sweet aroma. Elonosan, it says it added sweet aroma. Kamay Shapirish Rashi Sham, as Rashi Kodesh says over there. Ukamaisham Razal Bigamoran, as the Gemara brings the Masech to Shabbos, Kal Yidei Teichocho Shel Moshe al Maisa Ho'egel, through the act of Moshe Rabbeinu reprimanding the Jews for the crime of the Egel Hazal, he used that as an excuse to increase their sweet aroma, to add to them a reach toiv. Note, he used that incident as a stepping stone for Kiddusha. He used that opportunity to get Hashem to reveal himself to him personally in a much clearer way than he had ever done before, and he used that as an excuse to get a commitment from Hashem that Hashem would always be with the Jews throughout the desert. No angel, nothing, only Hashem. So we see he was able to use a downfall, a yerida of the Jews, as an excuse for a pickup, to be able to help them to start fresh, to become even stronger than they were before. And this added a sweet aroma to them. Shehu bechinas mizayna d'nishmoso. This sweet smell is referred to as the food of the neshama. Just as the body takes food in to sustain itself, so too the neshama takes in food to support itself. The food of the neshama is reyach toiv, a good smell. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ki ikar yenikas haneshama hi mehoreach kanal," because the main drawing power, the main support of the neshama, comes from smell. We said, "Ki ikar yenikas haneshama hi mehoreach kanal," because the main support of the neshama comes from reach, from smell. Now note, Rabbi Nizal said in Torah Beis in Likutei Moran, the second chapter of Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nizal explained that what does the power of smell represent? What does the nose represent? Tefillah. We know that the Iker, Rabbi Nizal brings in Torah Tes in Likutei Moran, the chapter 9 in the first chelik of Likutei Moran, Ki Iker hachius himen hatefillah, kemoi shekosuv tefillah lekel chayoi. That the main chius, the main life support of a person, comes only from tefillah, as the pasuk says, tefillah lekel chayoi. Here we see another way of wording it, another way of looking at it. The fact that the Gemara says that the life of the neshama comes from the power of smell, and smell refers to tefillah. There's a pasuk that says, Utehilosi echdam loch. I send up my tefillah through my nose. The reference is made specifically to the nose. Moshiach, who is the one who is kol from all the tefillahs of the Jews, he's encompassed from all the prayers of the Jews. About him it's written, Ruach apenu Moshiach Hashem. About him it's written, V'horechoi beiras Hashem. He will have the aroma of fear of Hashem. Fear of Hashem is synonymous with tefillah, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, Isho yiras Hashem hi tishalo. That one, according to how much fear of Hashem a person has, that's how much he davens to Hashem. So we see that this item of reyach is synonymous with tefillah. Now Rabbi Nizal continues to explain, Ki yesh mizayna d'nishmasa u mizayna d'gufa. There are two items. There's that which sustains the neshama, the soul, and there's that which sustains the body. Va'al yidei mezayna degufo nechlash mezayna denishmasa. Rabbi Nizal says, through the more intake there is of that which supports the body, the more gashmius there is, the less ruchnius there is. Now note, this one little half a line that we just quoted is a very, very, very significant item. In other words, Rabbeinu Zal lays this on the line for all of us to know, that you should know that these two are diametrically opposed to each other. And if a person wants to be zeichet to the true success in spirituality in life, it means a willingness to control and to lessen the extent of how much he goes after Gashmias, to minimize his hestapkus, to be willing to get along with as little as possible. This doesn't mean to impose or inflict unnecessary suffering on himself, but it means a willingness to lessen the Gashmias, to increase the Ruchnias. Because Rabbeinu Zal says, when this one goes up, this one goes down. Just as the Gemara says in Psachim about Yaakov and Esav, Lahavdol ula'oim miloim ye'emotz, that kishezeh kom zenoifel, when this one goes up, this one goes down, that Yaakov and Esav, Rome and the Remi and Lahavdol Yerushalayim, they can never both be up at the same time. If one is up, one is down, so too with the Guf and the Neshama. Generally, in most cases we say, that if one wants his Neshama to rise, to climb, it necessitates a stealing from the guf. Stealing sleep, stealing time from work, stealing time from eating, stealing time from the gashmias, to allocate more time and effort for the ruchnis, for the study of Torah, for mitzvahs. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki al yidei mezayna de gufa, because through the food that a person takes in to support the body, dahainu al yidei achila ushtia, food and drink, al yidei ze magdilin es bechinas ekev de sitrachra, that strengthens the heel of the foot of the satan. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, oichel lachmi higdil olai okev, those who eat bread, those who eat a lot, higdil olai okev, they strengthen against me the akev, the heel of the foot of the satan, of the rishoim. By engrossing themselves a lot in eating, in physical items, they allow the satan to strengthen himself over them. We know that this is a rule, that food helps strengthen the feet, specifically. Bebechina, says the Gemara, says in Shabbos, Daik bekechi v'sishkach benigri, that if a person, the Gemara says there, chew your food carefully, so that your step will be a good step, a smooth step, you'll be able to walk strong. So we see that these two are closely related, the step, the foot of the person, the step of the person, and the eating. Rabbeinu Zal uses this to mean that the more a person eats, the more a person eats more than he's supposed to, this strengthens the foot of the satan. Ve'oz, and then, kishenizgadel chas v'shalom ekev de sitrachro, when the heel of the foot of the satan becomes stronger, ayideze nechlash chas v'shalom b'chinas ekev dikdusha, this weakens the heel of the foot of holiness, of kedusha. Because we know that there exists a concept of the heel of the foot by Rishoim, by bad people, and by tzaddikim, as Rabbeinu Zal explains now. Shehu bechinas ekev anovo yiras Hashem. There's a pasuk which says that the heel of the foot of modesty, if we picture modesty as a complete human being, the heel of his foot is fear of Hashem, meaning fear of Hashem is almost insignificant compared to modesty. That's how much greater modesty is than fear of Hashem. That one who is humble and modest automatically has the fear of Hashem in perfect order. So Rabbeinu Zal says, by strengthening the heel of the foot of the satan, this weakens the heel of the foot of kedusha. Shehi bechinas reyach, which is a concept of good smell. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, v'horeichoi beyiras Hashem, that Moshiach will have an aroma of fear of Hashem. So note, we find the term yiras Hashem used about reyach, about smell, and we find the term yiras Hashem used about the heel of the foot. Ekev anova yiras Hashem. So we see that this smell is related to this ekev, to this koyach of ekev. When we arouse a good smell, we strengthen the akev, the heel of the foot of kedusha. When we arouse a bad smell, we weaken the foot of the kedusha by strengthening the heel of the foot of the satan. Shehu mezayna de neshmosa. This fear of Hashem is the support for the neshama. Okay, so now we've been made aware that teichacha is a very sensitive item. It's a very difficult item. Even Rabbi Akiva said he wonders in his generation if there's somebody that's worthy of doing it. Now note, This doesn't mean that Rabbeinu Zal is disqualifying the topic of Teichacha, because this chapter is called Tikkun Teichacha. This chapter is named for the fact that Rabbeinu Zal was reprimanding his students, just as Moshe Rabbeinu did, just as Yeshua did. And the fact remains that this is one of the 613 commandments in the Torah. So Rabbeinu Zal was not looking to eliminate this. What Rabbeinu Zal was looking is for a person to be aware that this is an extremely, extremely sensitive item. And you should know, how sensitive is it? It's not sensitive that you can either succeed or fail. It's sensitive that you can succeed or you can do damage. You can cause tremendous damage, chas v'shalom, if you're not competent in doing it. Therefore, two things for starters. Before a person is ready to give teichacha to somebody else, he must attach himself to the tzaddikim amitiim. He must declare that I'm not giving this teichacha on my own. If I'm reprimanding a Jew, I'm not doing it on my own, because on my own, who am I? What are the odds of my getting it right? Therefore, the first thing I'm doing is nullifying myself completely to the tzaddikim amitiim. I want to be nichlal in them, and I want my words to come. I want to serve as a representative, as a messenger boy of them. I'm not coming on my own power. I'm coming only to represent them. That immediately takes out the arrogance or the nastiness that normally comes with a person who's smashing somebody else because he feels he's in a position to do it. If you know it's not you that's reprimanding, automatically you become a little bit smaller. And we know that humbleness is the key to charm. If you want your words to have chayin by another person, there's a pasuk in Tehillim where it says, "Im la'leitzim hu yolitz, v'la'anovim yitein chayin." Those that are humble are zeichet to have charm, that their words are readily received by other people. So this is one item, to be mevatel yourself completely. And number two, certainly it involves tefillah. A person has to pray to Hashem before a person dares to open up his mouth to smash somebody else. He has to say, Hashem, sefosai tiftoch ufi yagdi losecha. Hashem, please, you open up my mouth. Give me the right words to talk, that I shouldn't chas v'shalom destroy in my talking this person. I should be zeicha to accomplish. And if I'm not the one to do it, then I should be zeicha to keep my mouth closed, and my tefillah should bring closer the fact that the one who is the right one to do this should be able to do it. Because Rabbeinu Zal brings in a different term, that one of the sorriest situations for the Jewish nation is certain times when the tzaddikim don't feel an urge to reprimand them. When the tzaddikim have a feeling that they want to run away from them, they don't want to deal with them, this and that, this is one of the biggest catastrophes that could happen, chas v'shalom, because then we're lost. It's a ship without a captain, where the captain doesn't want to take hold of the steering wheel. Picture how far that ship's going to go, rachmona litzlan. Therefore, again, this is something we have to be mispower for, that we should be zeicher, that the tzaddikim in every generation should love us enough and be concerned enough for us that they should be willing to reprimand us. Because the Torah says, Es asher ye'ahav Hashem yechiach. The one whom Hashem loves, that's whom he reprimands. Reprimand is not a sign of hate, a sign of love. And here again, this is a lesson for a person, that before you dare reprimand another person, just as Hashem says about himself, Es asher ye'ahav Hashem yechiach, that the only one whom Hashem feels he's permitted to reprimand is one whom he loves. Because if you don't love the person, how is it conceivable that he's going to be willing to receive teichacha from you? So too, if a Jew ever wants to reprimand somebody else, he better make sure that before he starts reprimanding, that his love for that person is at 100. If that's the case, then by nature, his words are going to be received warmly, because the person's going to see that it's nothing personal here. It's not that you're knocking him. He sees that you really love him, if the love is 100%. And if the love is not 100%, how dare you attempt to do bigger than Hashem? Hashem says, Es asher ye'ahav Hashem yechiach, you're going to try to give teichacha to somebody you don't like, chas v'shalom, or you don't like 100%, you're going to see that chas v'shalom, it's not going to succeed. So these are some of the etzos involved. In other words, here again, Rabbeinu Zal wasn't looking here to shut his students up, that his students should not go around being mechiach people, chas v'shalom. How else are you going to bring them close to Hashem? He was looking to make them aware that just as this is the biggest, Hudavar Godel, it's a very great item, Umutar al Kol Echot Mi Israel. He's telling you that nobody is exempt from this. That's the wording here. Nobody is exempt. Nobody is exempt, and it's very difficult. You figure out how to do it the right way. And if you can't figure out, you go ask somebody else how to do it the right way. And if you have nobody to ask, you ask Hashem. You beg Hashem that you should be zeicha to do it the right way. Otherwise, You put your own life in jeopardy, chas v'shalom. You could actually cause a cutting off of shefa from worlds. Picture how dangerous an item that is, chas v'shalom.
So how do you know if you can't get to chacha, if you all you have to do is just pass yourself to tzaddikim and then just have that you should say the right things?
That's not all you have to do. Don't play it down. Attaching yourself to tzaddikim means at the point that you feel totally attached, or at the point that they tell you that you're totally attached and you're in a position to go out and speak to other people, that's when a person's in a position to accept this upon himself. Otherwise, he's got to be extremely careful. If he wants to be makarav a person, he can only be makarav, not moichiach. He can only suggest to them good things to do, not reprimand them for the bad. Here we're talking about teichocha. Teichocha means reprimand, meaning why did you do this item, that type of thing. That's extremely sensitive, and that a person has to be on a very high madreva to be able. In other words, he has to really purify himself well before he's ready to do it.
So that thing you have to ask before you
leave? Most definitely. Most definitely.
Is there a case you could do it with that? Where you're in a position that you don't have time to ask him if you could reprimand a person at that point?
We said that these are some of the things that a person would have to know for starters. Is he really attached to tzaddikim, number one? And has he seen from experience to know the way tzaddikim do it, number one, to be able to be very careful that it should come out the right way? And has to study himself, what's his success record in doing this? How many, in other words, that again would be something that would tell a person how much he is permitted or not permitted. And the other items are what we said, the true ahava, to know before you start that you really, really love the person and to be able to make him aware of this. These are just, for starters, some of the things that a person would have to do.
We already discussed later on, have we already explained blocking the yichud to the neshamas? It says
right.
It stops the shefa of the aramos that are totally on.
Right. No, I don't think Rabbi Nizal is going to go into that more. He's assuming that we're aware of this fact, that we know that everything that goes on in all the worlds in existence are dependent on the Jewish people. The pasuk says, "Bereishis bara elikim." The pasuk says, "Bereishis bara elikim es hashamayim v'soretz." Because of Reishis, Hashem created heaven and earth and everything. Reishis is one of the nicknames that's given to Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish nation. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Reishis Tevuasai. The Jews are known as the first fruit of Hashem, the Reishis, the Bechor. So that everything in creation is dependent on Bnei Yisrael. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, you should know, that any Shefa that comes down to our physical world or to any other worlds in existence is dependent on the Jews. It's tied into the Jewish neshamos. According to how powerful they are, or strong, according to how much they're on an up or a down, they determine the quantity and quality of shefa that comes to this world and to any and all other worlds. It's all dependent on this nekudas hamerkas, this center focal point of the entire creation, which is the neshamos of the Jewish nation.
What is the point that Rabbeinu Zal wants to single out here
to
tell us that this won't happen?
He's saying that you weaken the what allows the neshama to magnetically draw this shefa, according to how much voltage is in the neshama, according to how powerful the neshama is, that's what gives it this drawing power, to draw, to pull shefa from Hashem for itself and for all the worlds. Anything that weakens the neshama obviously weakens its power to draw, so the shefa isn't pulled out. Therefore, just as a good smell strengthens the neshama, a foul odor weakens the neshama. If by giving a person reprimand in a way that you arouse a bad smell from him, and his neshama smells this bad smell, and his neshama becomes weakened by this, you should know that you risk a chance that any shefa that was dependent on his neshama, you could weaken the possibility of being able to draw that shefa. And any worlds, world or worlds, plural, that were dependent on that individual neshama, could lose out on receiving shefa, sustenance from Hashem, because you just weakened that neshama.
What are you referring to when you say worlds?
For example, in other words, here again, we're not talking in physical terms. The Gemara says that there's going to come a time when Hashem is going to give each tzaddik 310 worlds. So we note there is a concept of multiple worlds or millions of worlds that Hashem has allocated to people. Exactly what that means in technical terms, We have to learn much more. This type of item is discussed in the Sifrei Kabbalah. But we know that this terminology is used in many places in the Gemara. The Gemara mentions 18,000 worlds. The Gemara in Chagiga discusses a person who learns a certain level of Torah is misaking 18,000 worlds. This terminology is used many times throughout the Torah. So Rabbeinu Zalthayeh is referencing the fact that there exist worlds, numerous worlds, that are hooked in to each individual neshama of the Jewish people.
So can I picture, are these worlds inhabited? Are they universes?
Well, number one, we have the worlds of angels, number ones, Olam HaYetzira. That's an example of a world. And possibly there are other worlds. Probably, I would assume that this refers to angelic-type worlds. Although, I'm not knowledgeable enough in this to be able to give a thorough explanation. But I know I have come across this terminology used in the Gemara. The Gemara does use this terminology of olamos, worlds.
This thing you mentioned that Ahava is a prerequisite for Techacha, does that include, like, it's a case of Covenant of Tyre or Covenant of Tzedekim? If somebody stands up and starts talking again, I mean, is that a case where they just punch him out?
Then that's not Techacha. That's not Teichacha, that's standing up for Kavodat Torah. In other words, we're discussing the topic of Teichacha, reprimanding a person, where you're obviously doing it to correct him. There are times, Rabbeinu Zal brings in Torah Vav and Likut Imran, that for a Jew to allow himself to be insulted without answering back, that's a tremendous form of tshuva. Although the Shulchan Aruch says that if a person ever calls you a mamzer in public and you don't answer him back, That's dangerous. You must answer back. You must refute what he's saying. Otherwise, chas v'shalom, there's a chance that it could have ramifications. So we know there are certain cases when it's a mitzvah to be quiet. There are certain cases when it's a mitzvah to speak up. For example, when the Torah is being insulted by a person, or a person's friend is being insulted, he's not permitted usually to sit by and take it. He has to be meiche. He has to complain. That's the word that's used. Meiche. In other words, he has to show that he doesn't accept this. That this is unacceptable, and he's complaining against this publicly. He's denouncing this behavior. But that's not identical to the word teichacha. Whereas teichacha means when you're looking to do it for the benefit of an individual. And that is definitely a prerequisite of ahava. Here it's not for the benefit of that individual, it's kavarat Torah. We're not looking to fix him. He insulted the Torah. The Torah has a certain degree of kavod. The kavod ha-Torah warrants that when a person says something like this about the Torah, that he bleed a little for it, his face be bloodied up. Just like lahavdol, a king. If somebody insults a king publicly, unless something is done to physically, that people are made aware that that person was physically harmed for this, the king will become smaller by them. His kavod will become lessened by them. Therefore, by hitting that person or punishing that person, we're doing it purely to retain the kavod of the king. Not that he's uninvolved. He cut himself off. We're using the word teichacha where it seems that there's a definite prerequisite of ahava.
Someone gets embarrassed. Is he allowed to? The best thing is to keep quiet. Is he allowed to say something back to the person to help him out?
If he thinks it would help, of course, no question. Most definitely, but he has to use seichel in doing it. He has to know when and what and how. That's a whole separate topic.
When you're insulted, it's almost impossible to be objective and to really reprimand the person out of love, because you're just weakened.
That's true. In other words, it's very hard to look to put it in the, to be able to look objectively. That's the word. That's why usually we say a person should wait until he composes himself and he's able to answer logically. Many times when you're insulted, you might even think you're saying something that makes sense, but because of the fact that you've just been killed, insulted means shpichas damim, your blood was spilled, it weakens you tremendously, it weakens the seichel, where you can't respond with your full intellect. Where if a person waits a little, he gets his composure back, he's able to answer more with seichel. Let's get back to our topic. Okay, so we discussed that this is a very sensitive item, and a person has to be worthy of giving teichacha in a manner where the teichacha is meisiv v'neisein reyach. Now note, in the Breslov Sforum it's brought that the word here is used near the nosan rechoy, that this refers specifically to, you want to know who's worthy of doing this, which student was Rabbeinu Zal was leaving a tzavor. In other words, he was about to leave the world. His students would have to carry on after him in the work that he did. What was his work? Teaching the Jewish nation. Which student would be worthy of teaching the Jewish nation where he was even permitted to do this item, Teichocha, which is so sensitive an item, near the Nosan Reichai? Rabbeinu Zal's Talmud, Rabbi Nosan Zal, he was the one who was zeichet to this gift of Nosan Reichai. Any person looking into his Sforim, his writings, the Likute Halochais, the Alam Letrufa, all the Sforim that he wrote, which are filled with Teichocha. In many places he reprimands, you see the Messiah, the sugar and honey that's spread throughout his words, you see how a person can possess a talent where he can be washing the floors with somebody, he can really, really be breaking a person down into tiny little pieces, and yet in a way where it's only constructive. Where unless a person wants to be totally ridiculous, there's no way in the world he could mistake in those words as a rejection. Those words are only taken as support, as strength to bring him close to Hashem. Now Rabbi Nizal says, "V'hatikun lazeh, what item helps a person be mesakin this, to fix himself up totally, to make himself perfect, to be able to do this? V'hatikun lazeh hu al yidei bechinas koil, is by perfecting the koil, the voice of the person. Ki bechinas koil hu mashke es hagan sheshom gedelem kol horeichois v'hayirois." There is an item called koil, sound or voice, which that's the item that nourishes and waters the plants, the neshamos, the smells, the sweet smells that grow in the garden. Now note, we're using strange terms now. We're going to explain each term that we're using. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in the beginning of Bereishis, v'nohor yaitzei me'eden, there was a river that flowed forth from Eden, from the spiritual place called Eden, lahashkois es hagan, to provide nourishment for the gan, for the garden of Eden. Rabbi Nizal explains now, Nohor hayotze me'eden, this river that flows from Eden, Zebechinas hakoil, refers to the sound, the voice. How do we know that voice is synonymous with river? Bebechinas, there's a pasuk in Tehillim which says, Nosu nehorois koilom, the rivers lifted up their voices in praise to Hashem. So we see that river could refer to koil, to sound. V'zeh b'chinas es koilech shomati bagan vo'iro. Odom Arishain said about Hashem, I heard your voice traveling through the garden, and I was filled with fear. So we see an association between koil and yira, koil and fear, sound and fear. Kizeh hakoil mashke sagan, this voice, this sound, nourishes the garden. Shaydezeh gedelim shom kol horechos, in that garden grow all these items, these grasses that give forth a sweet smell. Shehem bechinas yirokanal, which correspond to the term fear. Note, we quoted the pasuk before, v'horechoi beiras Hashem. Moshiach has an aroma of fear of Hashem. So we see the term smell used in association with fear of Hashem. So when we talk about this garden that's being watered by what? By the river, a river that waters the garden. A garden is something which has things in it that give forth a good smell. The items that give forth the smell is the fear of Hashem. What waters this fear of Hashem? The koil, the sound, the voice of one who is a mechiach haroi, one who is worthy of reprimanding. His voice is what brings forth this good smell. His voice represents this river that waters this gan, this garden. Shezehu b'chinas mezayna d'nishmosa. This is the concept of the food of the soul, the food, the sustenance of the neshama. Ki alidezeh hakoil nichna b'chinas ekev d'sitrachra. Because it's this voice that has the power to weaken, to subdue the power of the heel of the foot of the satan. We said before that when there is this riboy achila, when the mezayna d'gufa becomes strengthened too much, it results in a strengthening of the heel of the foot of the satan. Rabbi Nizal says now that this koil is that item which defeats this heel of the foot of the satan. Where do we see this? Kizeh hakoil hu bechinas hakoil kol Yaakov. This voice is the voice of Yaakov Avinu, where the pasuk says about him that the power of Yaakov Avinu was in his voice. The alkein zocho Yaakov lebechinas horeach. And because Yaakov Avinu possessed this koil, therefore we find written about him that he also possessed this sweet aroma, this reyach. B'bechinas, as the pasuk says, re'ei reyach beni kereyach sode asher berachai Hashem, that Yitzchak Avinu said about his son Yaakov Avinu that the smell that comes from him smells like the smell of Gan Eden. How did Yitzchak Avinu know the smell of Gan Eden? When he was at the Akedah and his father Avram Avinu slaughtered him there, and the Sifrei Kabbalah tells that his neshama shot up to Gan Eden for a second. There Yitzchak Avinu learned the smell of Gan Eden, so that when his son Yaakov Avinu came in wearing the special clothing that he had gotten from Esav HaRasha, the Bigdei HaChamudais that were belonged to Esav, which Esav had gotten from Nimrod when he killed him, which Nimrod had gotten from Odom HaRishon, the special Bigdei HaChamudais which came originated in Gan Eden, when Yitzchak Avinu smelled the aroma of that clothing, he said, Re'ei Reach Ben I see the smell of the clothing that you're wearing smells like the Garden of Eden. So we see that about Yaakov Avinu, who possessed this power of koil, about him is written that he also possessed this power of reyach. Now note, there's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim where it talks about the sweetness of the voice. The pasuk says, Hashem says to the Jews, Harini es marayech, hashmiini es koilech. Please allow me to see your beauty and let me hear your voice. Hashem says to the Jews, allow me to hear your voice. The word koilech, kuf vav lamed chav, is bigematria Yosef, exactly. Because he was the one who had this power of lohosif, near the nosan rechoy, that his voice gave forth this sweet smell. He's the one whom Hashem said, I want to hear your voice. You don't hold back, because your reprimand will add to the sweet smell. Why? The pasuk continues, harini es marayich, hashmini es koilech, ki koilech orev umarech noveh, because your voice is sweet. The Hebrew word for sweet is orev umarech noveh, and your appearance is beautiful. The Sifrei Kabbalah tells us that the word orev is bigematria twice koil. By Yaakov Avinu it's written hakoil koil Yaakov, that Yaakov Avinu possessed this double koil. Koil, kuf vav lamed, is 136. Twice koil is 272, which is exactly bigematria of the word orev, sweet. So note that in Shir HaShirim, when it talks about the beauty of the voice, who is it referring to? Yaakov Avinu, who was zeichet to this hakoil koil Yaakov. This is why the Torah praises him that he had this double koil, meaning that his koil was the koil about which it's written in Shir HaShirim, ki koilech orev, that Hashem says, you give it out, speak, because you have this sweet voice which could only arouse the beauty of Klal Yisrael. Hashmini es koilech, harini es marayech, hashmini es koilech. You'll bring forth a beautiful appearance of the Yidden by your teichocha. You won't make them look worse, you'll make them look better. Rabbi Nizal explains, and this koil of Yaakov Avinu is what battled against Esav HaRasha, is what defeated the Ekev of Esav. Rabbi Nizal explains, Vehu machnia Ekev de Sidrachra. It's this Yaakov Avinu who weakens and subdues the heel of the foot of the Satan. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, that when Yaakov Avinu came out of his mother's stomach, the yodoi oichezes ba'akev Esav, his hand was holding on to the heel of the foot of Esav. Why? To pull him back, to pull him down. Yaakov Avinu is the one who has the power to subdue the heel of the foot of Esav, of the Satan. Now note, just we're gonna mention something now which is gonna come very much into play later. What power, what sweetness in the voice does a person have to be roy of giving teichacha? Rabbi Nizal is going to talk about the 10 levels of prophecy and the 10 levels of negino, the asore mina negino. One who possesses these 10 powers of music, he's the one whose voice has this sweetness in it to be able to give teichacha. The word v'yodoi oichezes ba'kev esov, his yud, yodoi yud vav dalet, is his yud, his power of these asore mina negino, these 10 types of song. That's what grabs onto the Ekev of the Satan to weaken him. This is what subdues the Ekev of the Satan. We're going to have much, much more about this later. I just threw this out as a hint. You'll remember when you see later how we flow into the topic of the Asar Mina Negina, you'll remember that it was referenced over here also. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'zeh ha'koil hu bechinas koil ha'moichiach haroi. this voice of Yaakov Avinu, this is the voice of the one who gives the proper teichacha, the one who is capable of giving reprimand in a good way. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya Hanavi, Hashem says, Horeim kashofar koilech. Lift up your voice like a shofar. A shofar is intended to throw fear into people. The shofar represents the voice of reprimand. Hayitoka shofar bo'ir va'am lo yechrodu. The shofar makes people tremble. The shofar represents this voice of reprimand, about which Hashem says that the one who is worthy, to him we say, Horeim kashofar koilech. Lift up your voice like the blast of the shofar. V'haged la'ami pisham, and notify my nation of their sins. Note here, the pasuk itself says beferish that what is this kol hashofar? In telling them about their sins, which means obviously reprimanding them. That there is a mitzvah for a certain selected individual who's capable of this, to notify the people of their sins. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki hamoichiach sheroitza lohichiach es Yisrael, because any Jew who wants to be worthy of reprimanding the Jewish people, ulahagid lohem pisham v'chatosam, and to notify them of their sins, the ones that they did b'mezid, or intentionally lahachiz, or the ones that they did accidentally, hu tzorich lozeh hakol. He must possess this voice. Now note, we didn't define yet what's special about this voice. We just made reference that it's the voice of the river from Gan Eden Estat. We're going to explain soon what quality it is. But he must possess this special voice, Kedei Shelo Yavish Recham, so that he shouldn't spoil their smell, Al Yidei Shema'irer Avaynoseim Kanal. By arousing their sins, the sins are that item which is like an item that has a stench to it, which if you stir up a person's sins, there's a potential Chas V'Shalom for that to give off a bad aroma. But there are tzaddikim who are capable of stirring up the sins, reminding the person of sins that he did, reminding him, arousing what he did wrong, and yet doing it in such a way where no bad smell comes from it. Rabbi Nizal says, no, that's why this person must have this unique type of koil. This koil, not only doesn't it through this coil, he not only doesn't he subtract, but he adds reach toiv, he adds good aroma, because this coil, we just proved from the pasuk v'nohar yotzei me'eden lahashkos es hagan, that this river representing the sound, this not only doesn't it subtract, but it nourishes the garden, which is the place of these smelly items, these items that have a good smell. Kizeh hakoil, mashke sagan. This coil nourishes the river. Vizehu, this is why the pasuk says, Horeim kashofar koilech, lift up your voice like a shofar. Rabbi Nizal explains, kashofar daika. Note the word kashofar is used. Why? Kizeh hakoil hamashke sagan. This voice which nourishes the garden. Shehu bechinas v'nohor yotzei me'eden. This is this river that flows forth from Eden. Hu bechinas koil hanigun shel hashir sheyisa losid kisheyichadei sheseilomai. This represents the song that's going to be aroused in the future when Hashem is going to effect a chiddush ha'olam. Hashem is going to create the world anew, and there's going to be a fabulous song played at that time. This voice arouses that. This voice must have part of that song in it. Shehu shir poshut kofel mishulash maruba. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that this song that's going to be played in the future is a song that's made of one string. You take a string, then you double it, then you triple it, then you quadruple it. Poshut means singular, kofel is double, shilush is triple, ribua is four times. Now note, the tzitzis that we wear, Rav Nosson Zal has a whole halacha in Likutei Halachos, based on this chapter in Likutei Maran, showing us how the tzitzis represent this koil hamoichiach, that's roi loichiach, because the tzitzis are this kofel, this doubling, this kofel shmeina. The most beautiful tzitzis are tzitzis that are doubled eight times. In other words, where it's made up of eight levels of string, representing this sheer posher kofel sheer shribua. This is why this is the only mitzvah about which it's written in the Torah that this mitzvah reprimands the Jew. You will see this. This is what's intended as to reprimand. When a person is about to commit a sin, it's a tzitzis that strikes him in the face. The Gemara tells us a story to tell him, don't you dare. If he wears his tzitzis out in a manner that a Jew is supposed to, this looks him, stares him in the face, and reprimands him. Why? Because the tzitzis possesses this koil hamechia haroi, which has in it this power, this shir, this beautiful song that's going to be played on a harp in the future, which we're about to explain in detail, which has this single, double, triple, quadruple level. Rabbi Nizal explains, Shehu Bechinas Hashir Shelo Osid. This is the song that's going to be played in the future. Shehu Bechinas Hakoil Hamashkes Hagan. This is the voice. Shehu Bechinas Hakoil Hamashkes Hagan. This is this voice that waters the garden. Shaydeze Hakoil Daiko Hu Yochoil Archiach. One who possesses this koil, that's one who's worthy of giving Teichocha. Vezehu Horeim Kashayfor Koilech. Rabbi Nizal says, this is why the Pasuk says, Horeim Kashayfor Koilech. Lift up your voice like a shayfor. Daiko, specifically that word is used. Rabbi Nizal says, this is why the word kashayfor is used. Lift up your voice like a shayfor, roshei tevois, poshut, kofel, shilush, ribua. The word kashayfor makes up the first letters of the words, kofel, poshut, shilush, ribua, referring to one who possesses these 10 levels of song, this asara mina negina. Note, 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 gives us a total of 10. This refers to the Asora Mine Negina, just as in Hashem's name, Yud, Yud K, Yud K Vav, Yud K Vav K, which adds up to a total of 72. This refers to the beautiful song that's going to be played on a harp of 72 strings that the Gemara discusses, that we're going to explain more about in a second. Rabbi Nizal says, Shehu Bechinas Hashir Shalosid. This is the beautiful song that's going to be played in the future. Shehu Bechinas Hakoil Hamashke Sagan. This is the voice that waters the garden. Shaydeze Hakoil Daiko Hu Yochoil Hechiach. One who possesses this type of voice, he's the one who's worthy of giving reprimand. Vezehu Horeim Kashayfor Koilech. Lift up your voice like a shayfor. Kashayfor Daiko. This means specifically like a shayfor. Kana, as we explained before, meaning one who possesses this single, double, triple, quadruple power. He possesses this power of the song that's going to be played, Lo Sid Lavoi. Vizehu Bechinas Moishchen Olav Chutshel Chesed Hanema B'Moichiach Haroi K'Moisham Razal. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Tomid, HaMoichiach Es Chaveiroi L'Shem Shamayim, a Jew who is zeicha to reprimand his fellow man, not for his own kavod, not because he wants to make himself bigger, HaMiskabed B'Koin Chaveiroi Chas V'Shalom, not because he wants to make himself bigger by making somebody else smaller, but he does it l'shem shamayim. He does it for the kavod of Hashem purely. Meishchin olav chut shel chesed. The Gemara says Hashem draws down upon that person a string of kindness, a thread of kindness. Rabbi Nizal says, Shenemar Moichiach Odom Achreichein Yimtza, that one who wants to reprimand his friend properly, he will find charm, this chein, this chut shel chesed. Ki chut shel chesed zebechinas shenikla v'nishza v'nase chut mehanimin. This string of kindness refers to a string that's woven from individual strings. She'al elu hanimin, on these strings, yisnagein hanigun v'ashir hazeh shel osid. On this combination of strings is going to be played the beautiful song that's going to be played in the future when Moshiach comes. Sheheim ayin beiz mimin. This is going to be played on a harp of 72 strings. Keneged shem yud. Yud-Kei-Vav-K. Connected this special name of Hashem, the most basic name of Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-K, which when we take it in this form, first we take one letter, then we double it, we take two letters, then we triple it, we take three letters, then we quadruple it, we take all four letters, Yud plus Yud-He plus Yud-He-Vav plus Yud-He-Vav-He gives us a total gematria of 72. Shehu bechinas shir poshut kofu shilosh ribua kemuva b'tikunim. This is the special song that's explained in the Tikkunei Zohar. That's what explains this beautiful song that's going to be played in the future when Moshiach comes. Shehu oile kuloi ayin beis. It's gematria. The gematria of this form of the name of Hashem gives us a total of 72. On these strings is going to be played this beautiful song of the future, when Hashem is going to renew His world. As the pasuk says, Olam Chesed Yibone. The world is going to be rejuvenated, rebuilt with Chesed. What is Chesed? Ches is 8, Samach is 60, Dalid is 4. This gives us a total of 72. Olam Chesed Yibone. She'oz Yisar Shir Poshut Kofel Shilash Ribua. Then in the future, this song, which is single, double, triple, quadruple, is going to be aroused. Now note, those that are familiar with music, know that what are the laws of music? What's the smallest that a musical note is broken down to normally? A 16th note is very, very unusual. Usually, it's quarters and eighths. Usually an eighth note, in other words, even the most basic songs have eighth notes in them. 16th is more unusual. The normal breakdown of musical notes is you have a whole measure, you have three quarters, a half, a quarter, and an eighth. That's the general breakdown based on this concept of poshut kaful shilosh ribua, these different combinations of doubling, tripling, quadrupling, these different levels. Interestingly, we just stopped by Olam Chesed Yibone. This is the secret of Shavuos night that we said. This Meimei HaChesed, Olam Chesed Yibone, that the Tikkunei Zohar says, Chesed Bina. The word Yibone is the letters Bina. That Chesed is the sphere that leads up to Bina. Keser Chochma Bina, Chesed. Chesed is what's used as a stepping stone leading to Bina. Halavai, we should be zecher this Shavuos, especially through the mikveh of Shavuos night, the mikveh nun, which is one of the holiest mitzvahs on the Yontif of Shavuos, we should be zecher to draw upon ourselves this chesed elyon, this chesed, light of chesed, this super chesed, which brings about a tikkun, a hamtoka for the bina, for anything that we might have done wrong a whole year. This should serve as a Yom Kippur for us, and it's a Hashem. This is the beginning of this chapter in the Gemara. It's going to be a lot to learn.
Is that a rule when you give someone to a chacha, it has to be with Abba? Is there a case where there's a shaita that comes in and
I see. Then it's not toichocha so much. Then it's more sticking up for the Kavra Torah. That if he's insulting the Kavra Torah, he has to be insulted to stand up the Kavra Torah. But the word toichocha, as we're using it here, is in the context of a leader of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, the leaders who are obligated that if they see the community doing it, if they see anything negative in the community, any defects, they're required to notify the people about it and to correct it. For them, the warning is given that before you're able to do it, it must feel an ahava towards the people.